Ignition sequence start.
See, Elijah Wan has David Robinson just bamboozled.
Kelly out of the corner for three.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
The Houston Rockets select Yao Ming.
McGrady at the buzzer.
Yes! Paul touch it up.
The conductor.
Goes to Hart. On Thompson steps right. Shoots for the win. A three. He got it.
I know what we need to do. I know exactly what we need to do.
Russell Westbrook.
James Harden.
I know what's at stake.
It's going to be scary. Not for us.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, Jackson Gatlin. You follow me on Twitter, at JT Gatlin. You can also follow the show on Twitter, at Locked On Rockets. And hey, if you enjoy what we do here, do me a favor, subscribe to us. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Himalaya, wherever it is that you listen to your podcast, if you could subscribe to us, follow us, whatever. Maybe leave us a review if you've got time. Maybe drop some stars. I'd sincerely appreciate it. The Rockets beat the New Orleans Pelicans 117-109. They take the season series, and they improve to 31-18. Pretty solid game overall. Like, I don't have a whole lot of gripes in this one. And look, I've been pretty heated, I think is the best word for it, about the small ball lineup that has now won three games. And I'll get into my reasoning for being heated about that lineup and why I'm starting to come around to the idea of it. We'll also hear a little bit from James Harden and his post-game thoughts about this one. And then in the final segment, we'll talk about some of the apparent trade rumors that are circling regarding the Houston Rockets and Clint Capella and the interest that he is generating amongst many Eastern Conference teams, namely the Atlanta Hawks, who are at the front of the pack, apparently, as reported by ESPN's senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. But back to this game, it was a solid win. It was pretty tightly contested for much of the game. The Rockets didn't exactly dominate the Pelicans. They got to the fourth quarter and they finally turned it on. They used a 25-16 fourth quarter where they really shut down the Pelicans to actually kind of pull away and win this one. And it's frustrating because you look at it and you see the Pelicans, they're sitting at the bottom of the conference and you think, okay, this should be an easy win, right? Easy wins don't exactly exist anymore in today's NBA. And I think it takes a little bit to kind of realize that. I think some fans kind of are used to, you know, maybe 5 or 10 or 15 years ago when you look at a team who's bottom in the standings, you're like, oh yeah, that's a cakewalk victory. It just doesn't work that way anymore. The way that offenses are geared to be able to go on these huge explosive runs, really, you know, they say it all the time, no lead is safe. And it's true, because even a bad team, even a team at the bottom of the conference, can get hot and can actually go on a scoring tear. And the Pelicans aren't necessarily a true reflection of their actual record. I mean, they haven't had Zion for much of the year. This is his first time that he's played the Rockets, and this was their fourth meetup. So they haven't had Zion. They're kind of, you know, gelling. They're getting this young core of guys together, and the Pelicans are going to be able to make some noise in the not-so-distant future. So this isn't exactly a cakewalk victory. But again, they used the defensive effort of the fourth quarter to really pull away from this one and win the game 117-109. James Harden dropped in another 40-point game, so I believe that's his 17th 40-point game of the season. It's either 17th or 18th when I was adding them up. So 40-point game for Harden, 10 boards, 9 assists, so just one assist shy of a triple-double. Had a couple blocks, 4 turnovers, 9 of 9 from the charity stripe, 7 of 15 from behind the arc, 12-24 overall shooting. So the last pod that we talked in was the recap from the Mavericks game. And I didn't completely buy that James Harden was back necessarily. His shooting was better, and I was impressed by that. And just like and in this game as well, his shooting percentages are better. He still doesn't quite look 100% back to me, but it's trending the right direction, and that's what's important. Because he still doesn't look like he's got quite the explosiveness to get past his defenders. Because think about it. How often can a defender truly stay in front of James Harden? And it felt like no matter which Pelican was lined up in front of him, he couldn't quite get that first clean step to explode to the basket like he normally can. And so I don't think he's completely back. I'd say he's probably at about 75-80% of the way back right now. But it's a welcome sight. It's nice to finally have this version of James Harden back in some capacity. And the frustrating thing is now suddenly James Harden is back and Russell Westbrook is being slightly more inefficient than he used to be. So Westbrook with 22 points, 6 rebounds, 7 assists, had a steal, just a couple turnovers, 3 of 3 from the line, 1 of 4 from downtown, attempted 4 three-pointers. Very unlike the Russell Westbrook of recent memory to attempt 4 three-pointers. And then on top of that, he was 9 of 24 overall. So just a really like wholly inefficient night from Russell Westbrook. And he also started off the Mavericks game pretty slow. So I don't know what's going on necessarily with Russ right now in this moment. But I jokingly said on Twitter that Mike D'Antoni being the guard whisperer can only directly influence one of them at a time. And so he had his little power crystal or whatever he, you know, uses to improve his guards in his offensive lineups. He was directing its energies towards Westbrook for a little while and then realized that James Harden needed some of that. So, you know, goes back to guard whispering James Harden, I should say. No, I don't know. You know, it's going to be nice once they both are on the same page and they both have monster games together, but that just hasn't happened yet. I think it's happened like once or twice where they've had phenomenal games together, but even then that was before Westbrook really took it to heart, the whole, hey, maybe I just shouldn't shoot threes and just drive to the basket. Besides those two, Ben McLemore had a huge night. So that's the new Rockets big three right there. You got Beard, you got Brody, and you got Benny. That's what you got. That's the triple B. Who cares about Big Baller Brand when you can get triple B in the form of the Houston Rockets? So Ben McLemore, 22 points, 4 of 9 shooting from downtown, 6 of 8 from the charity stripe, and 6 of 12 overall shooting. And very in true Ben McLemore fashion, not a single other counting stat other than he had a couple steals. I love looking at Ben McLemore's stat lines because they're usually, and like when I'm doing my little post-game recap tweet, it's always funny when Ben McLemore gets landed in that set of three players that I always tweet the stats out for, because I look at his stat line usually and it's just, all right, points, buckets, cool, nothing else down the stat line. I love it every single time. It's very funny. So we'll get more on this win over the Pelicans here in just 1 second, and we'll also hear from James Harden, so don't go anywhere. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, going over the Rockets' 117-109 victory over the New Orleans Pelicans here in Houston, improving the team to 31-18 on the season, now 17-7 at home. Pelicans fall to 20-30 on the season, 10-15 on the road. This now continue. The Rockets don't move up or down in the standings in this one. They're still comfortably slotted in at the fifth seed, a whole game ahead of the sixth-seeded Dallas Mavericks. And now they are just one game back of the fourth seed, Utah Jazz. The Jazz sitting at 32-17, Rockets 31-18, as previously mentioned, Mavericks at 30-19. The Rockets are also just 2.5 back of the Denver Nuggets, 2 back in the loss column. Nuggets are 34-16, and just recently, on the same day the Rockets played the Pelicans, lost in an overtime fashion to the Detroit Pistons. So thank you, Detroit, for helping out the Rockets and kind of adding another loss to the loss column of the Denver Nuggets, because the Rockets need all the help that they can get if they want to secure one of those higher seeds, because the Lakers are running away with it. The Lakers are going to probably be the one seed, and that's probably not going to change. So past that gives you 3 other slots to try and squeeze in there and get some home court advantage, at least for some duration of the playoffs. And I think the Rockets desperately need that. When you look at their home record versus their away record, they are 17-7 at home. They're just 14-11 on the road. So I definitely think home court advantage is in their favor. It's almost in everybody's favor. There's very few exceptions to that where you play better on the road than you do at home. We're not talking about a team of Ryan Andersons that can't shoot at Toyota Center. We're talking about this version of the Houston Rockets that obviously plays better at home. Now back to this game at hand. I'd be doing a disservice if I didn't give a quick shout out to the play of Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson. Just Ingram, 28 points, 12 rebounds, had a few assists. His play just has progressed immensely since being traded from the Lakers and, you know, kind of growing into his own, you know, caliber player, as well as being an all-star, being an all-star reserve, his first all-star selection. And then Zion, 21 points, 8 of 14 shooting, 10 boards, one assist, one steal, one block. First play of the game was an alley-oop dunk, right? I mean, what more can you say about Zion? This guy, he's a rookie. He hasn't even played 10 games yet. And he looks like he fits in so well. So once he gets his conditioning to where it needs to be, he is going to be a force. I just hope that he has a career that can be healthy and that is not plagued by injuries. I was already very concerned when he had to miss a chunk of this year, but hopefully moving forward, his health remains intact. I mentioned earlier, right, this is the third win in a row now without Clint Capela, where the Rockets use this uber small ball lineup to win the game. And they got absolutely destroyed in the rebounding department. The Pelicans out-rebounded the Rockets 63-43. It was painful. And at the same time, they still come out with the win. Now, it's because I just enjoy good defense and I enjoy, you know, successful rebounding. And maybe that's part of, you know, me covering the UH men's basketball team for a year and, you know, Coach Kelvin Sampson preaching defense and rebounding above all else. But it was bothering me the entire game watching them get out-rebounded. It bothered me in the fourth quarter against the Dallas Mavericks, and I think that was part of that, you know, almost upset in that fourth quarter where the Mavs really made a push to try and win the game was the rebounding issue. But the Rockets actually did a solid job in this one. They came back in the fourth quarter, and they were able to actually out-rebound. I believe they out-rebounded. Hang on. Where we got counting stats here somewhere. Where are they? All right, 12 rebounds. There we go. The Rockets actually out-rebounded the Mavericks 21-12 across the final frame. So I don't know where that rebounding was in the first three quarters, because here's the thing, is if you can go small and still team rebound and not get murdered on the boards, then yeah, it's absolutely worth it. Because who wouldn't want to play five out and have all the spacing and actually be able to allow Westbrook to do whatever he wants offensively? And not just him, Harden, Gordon, Rivers, all the guys who want to drive to the rim. Give them all the space in the world. I get it. But my concerns will always be defense and rebounding when they decide to go small. And going small still doesn't fix the defensive issue of not having a big back there in the paint to assist with the, at times, lackadaisical perimeter defense that this team likes to play. So that part doesn't exactly get answered. But if they can team rebound like they did in the fourth quarter, again, 21-12 edge in that fourth quarter, then I'm okay with them going small, at least for stretches of the game. Because again, we've seen it all season. We've seen PJ Tucker is essentially the backup five. He's the starting four and the backup five. And that's been the case the entire season. When Clint Capela sits, PJ Tucker usually plays the five spot, because Mike D'Antoni has just been very reluctant to play Tyson Chandler or Isaiah Hartenstein to any extent, to give them any consistent minutes. Tyson, because he's old, let's face it, he's just not that great anymore. And then for Isaiah Hartenstein, whatever reason, it's just, I'm past it now. I've given up the hope that Isaiah Hartenstein will ever get consistent minutes under Mike D'Antoni. And now that the Rockets are 3-0 with this extra small ball lineup, I expect Mike D'Antoni to continue to lean into this lineup. And we'll get more on that in the fourth segment. Sorry, not fourth segment. What am I saying? Fourth quarter, fourth segment. Numbers floating around in my head. We'll get more on that in the final segment, the third segment. Numbers are hard. Here in just a moment about the speculation behind Clint Capela and some of that going on there and what that means for the Rockets, their lineups, all that good stuff. But again, in this one, they closed out the game strong. And that kind of fits in with the mold of what this team's done so far this season, where they haven't been consistent, right? So you have, you know, a so-so effort being put forth over the first three quarters, and then they get to the fourth quarter and they're like, all right, we got to lock it down, guys. We got to start rebounding. And hey, they won the game, so I can't be too upset. But I just wish that would have happened earlier. Because again, we see other teams, we see, you know, teams like the Bucks or the Lakers, and they have these dominant performances to where their star players or even their rotation players, their PJ Tuckers, their Eric Gordons, those guys are getting rest on those teams. Whereas for the Rockets, they're playing an 8-man rotation still. PJ Tucker, 39 minutes. James Harden, 39 minutes. Russell Westbrook, 36 minutes. And I just, again, for a guy like PJ Tucker, who's expected to play as an undersized five to be able to make this lineup work for the Rockets, who's playing through the shoulder stinger and who has continued to struggle shooting the ball, 0-5 in this one against the Pelicans, 0 points. He had 9 rebounds. He had a steal. Played some solid defense on Zion, but he has just been a black hole on offense as of late. PJ shouldn't be getting more than 25 or 30 minutes right now. He's playing through an injury. And that's hopefully what the Rockets are looking to resolve by dealing Clint Capela, which, again, we'll talk about in just a moment. But as promised, let's hear some of James Harden's post-game commentary after the win at home against the Pelicans.
Yeah, we did a pretty good, solid job the entire game before it was time to lock it down, and we did that to win the game.
So they get 10 second chance points in the last 7 minutes of the first half and 3 the rest of the game.
Rebound was going to win us the game, and we did that.
What changed? How do you do so much better?
Find a body, make a conscious effort. You know, when a shot goes up, hit somebody, and collectively get the rebound. I think we're so comfortable, especially when Clint's out there, that he's going to get a majority of the rebounds. That, you know, when we're small, we have to actually find a body and team rebound.
What were your impressions of Zion?
He's really good. Very, very explosive, athletic, as we all know. He was a good fit for the game. Yeah, I think all of us. You know, it's open up. Shout out to all of us, and we're doing a good job of that.
How big were Daniel's threes in the first quarter?
Huge. He had a lot of opportunities in the first two quarters that he usually makes, and I used to have that same confidence in the fourth quarter and knocking down. It's kind of key for us.
And that's James teeing me up perfectly for what I wanted to get in on before we wrap up this segment. Was Daniel House Jr., who was super effective in that fourth quarter against the Pelicans, a big reason they were able to pull away with the win. He had 8 of his 12 points in that fourth quarter. He also had 8 of his 12 rebounds in that fourth quarter, with one of his 2 3-pointers for the entire game. So both of his threes came in that quarter as well. So he was 0-for-6 behind the three-point arc, gets to the fourth quarter and just turns it on, apparently. Because he hits 1 3-pointer early in the quarter, and then he hit the second 3-pointer with about a minute left in the game, minute to go, and pushed the lead up to about an 8-point lead. I think it was 115-107, and kind of that was like the dagger that kind of basically sealed up the game. So Daniel House Jr. was extremely effective in that fourth quarter, a big reason the Rockets were able to pull away with this one. Stat line again for the night, 12 points, 12 boards. 8 of both of those stats coming in the fourth frame, the fourth and final frame. Had an assist, had a steal, 4 offensive rebounds from Daniel House Jr. Pretty nice there. So big night from Daniel House Jr. He waited until the fourth quarter to do it. Maybe not a big night, but definitely a clutch performance in the fourth from Daniel House to secure the W for the Houston Rockets. So we'll have our final segment here in just one moment. But first, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But what you may not know is that Locked On Rockets is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Houston Rockets fans just like yourself. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. And they're not just any podcast listeners, they're Locked On podcast listeners. If your company wants to connect with Houston Rockets fans in a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. You can text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. we'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. All right, and back in here for our final segment at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Now for this final segment, we're going to steer away from the Pelicans W, well, the Rockets W against the Pelicans, I should say. We will talk Clint Capela trade rumors. Ooh, yeah. So Adrian Wojnarowski reports that, and well, Shams had the scoop first, technically, I think. But Adrian Wojnarowski reported that multiple Eastern Conference teams are engaged, and that's the key word, engaged, meaning they are actively talking with Daryl Morey, with the Rockets, about Clint Capela. The one leading the pack, obviously, the Atlanta Hawks. So what would some of these trade proposals look like? Basically, where we're at is the Rockets are locked up with James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Eric Gordon as their supposed big three, and those guys are all locked down for the next 4 to 5 years. So then you've also got Clint Capela locked down, but for what Clint Capela provides to this team, and this is where I'm on the fence at this point, because I don't truly buy completely into the super duper small ball lineups. Now, if you could have a five that still gives you a little bit of size and lets you play five out, then I can get behind that a little bit more so that you're not completely undersized on the defensive side of the basketball, which is why Atlanta is an interesting option, because you've got John Collins over there who shoots about 33% from downtown, and he's not truly a center is the problem. He's been playing the five a lot in Atlanta, but he's not truly a center is the issue. He's about 6'9". So he's a bit undersized, bigger than everybody else on the Rockets roster other than Clint Capela and the two centers rotting away on the bench. But he gives you a five, or at least a rim runner in the Rockets offense who can play above the rim and still be a threat from the three-point arc, which would be interesting to see paired up alongside Westbrook and Harden. Because imagine for a minute, let's put on our hypotheticals for a moment. If Clint Capela could shoot threes, how much more lethal would this team be? Even at just a 32 or 33% clip. If Clint could stand on the three-point line and force his defender to be out there with him, as he said, if Clint could be a threat for pick and pop as well as being a rim runner, this offense would be unbelievably potent. Because then Westbrook gets the open space that he needs. Harden gets the extra open space. All the times the ball gets whipped around the three-point arc and then sometimes winds up in the hands of, you know, Clint, if he's back out there, if he had to, you know, go back out there to set a screen or something. I think the possibilities are kind of endless when you've got five guys out there who can shoot the ball. And we're seeing that a little bit. We're seeing that with this small ball five-man, you know, five-out lineup that the Rockets have been running. And they're 3-0 doing it right now. But they've also suffered rebounding the ball, and they've suffered defensively a bit because of it. Now, they have been generating a lot of turnovers, 17 turnovers against the Jazz and 17 against the Mavericks, I believe, and now 21 against the Pelicans. But again, I don't completely buy into the fact that, oh, they're not playing a big, so suddenly they're able to get their hands in passing lanes more often. No, I think that playing a big, and James said it well in the audio clip that I played earlier, playing a big like Capela allows them to be a little bit too comfortable on the defensive side of the basketball. I don't think there's enough intensity when they've got Clint behind them in the paint. And I've remarked on this before that if they've got Clint waiting back there, they kind of just expect him to be the guy to anchor the defense, to block shots, to challenge shots, to then absorb all the rebounds. And there's a bit of laziness factored in on that. Whereas when they go small, they have to rebound by committee. They have to find a body. They have to box out. All the things that James said, those are true. So I don't completely buy into the fact that they have to be small to do that. Just do it while Clint's in the game, or do it while there's a center in the game. You can play the same way. You can still force turnovers. You can still be active and have active hands on defense with a legitimate center in the game. You don't have to go small to suddenly feel the pressure and think, oh, I've got to play defense now. I'm not going to go down this rabbit hole because they are 3-0 doing it. But I still don't completely buy into it. I'm not 100% sold on this yet. But it seems like the organization is sold on it, and it seems like that's the direction that they want to go, which involves moving Clint Capela. Because, again, he's making about $15 million a year just to be a defensive anchor, which this team's never going to be a top defensive team. So are we going, you know, half the defense, double the offense, essentially? So they're looking at moving Clint Capela, which ideally would net the Rockets a return of a 3-and-D caliber wing who can be impactful, who can play meaningful minutes, and ideally trim some of the minutes from PJ Tucker, and then another rim-running slash five-out type center, which is why John Collins is interesting. But I've seen a lot of mock-ups of different trades, and even some of you guys have, you know, been tweeting me some different ideas and stuff. And this is F5 season. This is refresh season, right? We are 4 days away from the NBA trade deadline, so this is when the rumor mill starts heating up. And it'll be interesting to see what direction the Rockets want to go, because I understand the idea that Clint Capela at $15 million a year is a pretty solid contract. But when you've also got Harden and Westbrook making, you know, 30-something million each, Gordon's going to be making $20 million a year, you have to find a way to improve the team somehow. And this team needs another competent wing. And if you can find a five who can do exactly what Capela does, in addition to having a three-point shot on top of it, and for cheap compared to Capela, I think they're probably going to jump at it. I think the time to move Capela would have been better this summer to really reshape the team and to restructure everything, but it seems like they're really leaning into this new team identity of playing five-out basketball to, you know, space the floor, to be able to get out in transition. But I just... If they can net John Collins and another competent wing, I'll be happy with the exchange, because he's a young, promising big, and he doesn't have to be the future center for the Rockets. They'll still have Isaiah Hartenstein sitting on the bench, and if something happens this offseason with Mike D'Antoni and they bring in a new coach, you've still got a couple of then young, promising bigs with Collins and Hartenstein who could then maybe be that's your starting 4-5 combo down the line. I don't know. So it feels like they're maybe making this move for Mike D'Antoni, which seems a little weird because he may or may not be on the way out depending on how the rest of the season plays out. But Daryl Morey has to sign off on it. Daryl Morey has to be the guy to actually pull the trigger on the move. And as far as hierarchy goes, in case anybody didn't know, GM is definitely above the coach. So if Daryl Morey says, hey, we're going to play this way or we're going to do this, Mike D'Antoni has to follow. So all the times that Mike has left Isaiah Hartenstein sitting on the bench and hasn't played him any minutes, or the going extra small ball these last three W's the Rockets have had, Daryl Morey signs off on all of it. So it seems like they're going to lean into it. Seems like they're going to get rid of Capela, lean into the small ball, and I hope that with the way that these rumors have come out already, I hope that they're able to trade Capela, because his name has been in trade talks in and out for years. And as a player, I'm sure that's frustrating. I'm sure it's frustrating that you were having a solid season, a really great season by all metrics, and then you have this heel injury, and now you're kind of, you know, you're not playing at 100%. You're playing at 75, 80% of what you're capable of, and now suddenly your team's talking about trying to trade you. So I'm sure that doesn't feel great for Capela, but if he does wind up in Atlanta in some type of a deal, then at least he's there with Trae Young and the rest of the really young Atlanta roster, which will be good for Clint, because imagining a Trae Young and Clint Capela pick and roll is about as exciting as imagining a James Harden and Clint Capela pick and roll. So I want the best for Clint. He's provided this team with years of service, has grown with this team, and it'll be interesting to see what happens, and we'll obviously keep talking about this in the days leading up to and including the trade deadline, but I just wanted to talk about it for a moment here to kind of wrap up today's episode. So I think that's where we will leave things off for on this Monday, February 3rd. As always, thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you want more content before the next show, Follow me on Twitter at JT Gatlin, the show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. There's also the Facebook, which can be found at facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, the website LockedOnRockets.com, and then, of course, we have our email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. But again, for this February 3rd episode, this is where we will wrap things up. As always, thank you all so much for listening, and we hope to have you back again very, very soon right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.